Good evening, everyone, and hello. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Wednesday, September 30, 2020. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Arcane Semantics. Well, this airing, we have Max Egan once again joining us. Max has been active in the independent media and truth movement for the past decade or more. Max founded the Full Circle Project in 2012, which has evolved into a focus on building community resilience in every location possible and to find effective remedy to issue concern at a local level. A remedy to the issues of concern that is at a local level. And something which Max has been advocating in his regular podcasts over the past, 8-plus years now. Max is the webmaster of thecrowhouse.com, thecrowhouse.com, and regularly contributes at various speaking events across the whole globe, international. A globetrotter, so to speak. So I'm very pleased to have him here again. Max resides in Australia, and I'd like to discuss the social engineering and international agendas, which we all see accelerating these days, to be sure. Max, thank you for being here tonight, or this morning. I know it's Thursday morning where you are, right?
Yeah, pleasure to be here, brother. Thanks for asking me on again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, what part of Australia, roughly, do you reside again, if we can ask?
Very close to Brisbane. I'm just near the Queensland-New South Wales border.
Okay. All right. I know that you do a lot of travel, though. I mean, you'll be at speaking events in the United States, or I know a lot of times you've spent extended amount of time in South America. Well, a lot of research, but introspective sort of work, I suppose, as well while you're there, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that as well. I mean, I obviously don't travel too much anymore with the world the way it is. But, yeah, I have spent quite a bit of time in South America. I do like it there. It's pretty locked down there at the moment. I'm lucky that I'm not there. I was actually supposed to be there. I was going to head there in February. If I had gone there, I would still be in lockdown. So interesting how the world has worked out this year.
Yes, I'm hearing of a lot of people losing their websites, not just YouTube, but their regular websites because of their opinions on this lockdown and this alleged pandemic, you know, the different facts that they're putting out. And it's, I don't know, it's just crazy just how much we're seeing doctors and scientists being censored completely, you know, deplatformed in cases. So I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's even doctors and scientists, like you say, it isn't just conspiracy theorists or whatever. It's actual mainstream people with good reputations that if they say anything against the mainstream at all, anything against the official narrative, they're just shutting them down. It's outrageous. But that's actually waking a lot of people up. You know, so they're kind of red-pilling the whole world. I think they're very scared at the moment. I think that's why they're running so fast. And I've been censored just about everywhere. I've been censored off YouTube. I've been banned from Facebook, deleted from Spotify, deleted from iTunes. If they shut my website down, I mean, that would be pretty drastic. But it's an old HTML website, just on an old hosting company. So it's not WordPress or anything like that. So there's not so many rules, but you never know. You know, the host could get in trouble just for having me there, you know, the way things are going, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I'm curious to hear just the sort of situation as far as Australia is concerned. I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners are going to want to hear what's going on locally and just in your country in general. From what I understand, they've been reacting pretty strongly. Is that correct?
Well, they have in Victoria. It's been one of the harshest lockdowns we've seen anywhere in the world, if not the harshest lockdown anywhere in the world in Victoria. for, you know, alleged pandemic, which is a quantifiable fraud. I mean, there's so many people speaking out about it. You can't have something with a death rate of, you know, or a survival rate of zero, a death rate. You've got a 0.01 chance of dying from this virus. I mean, how is it a pandemic? You know, so it's obvious that it's fraud. And what we've seen here in Australia is just next level, in Victoria especially, just next level fascism, curfews, lockdowns, you know, unbelievable stuff, unbelievable police brutality. It's like Stalinist Russia in Victoria at the moment. Absolutely disgraceful. And it's coming out to the rest of the world. I mean, they're talking about the second wave in Texas now, and they're talking about locking down the UK again. And, you know, it's just a gradual process, but they're doing it everywhere. They're just trialing the model pretty dramatically in Victoria. I'm expecting it to the rest of the country as well, though. I mean, they're not going to roll back on this now. They've pushed too far, and they've put too much out there. They can't back down, because it will show that they were completely wrong. It was a hoax right from the beginning. And, you know, they'll lose face and they'll get kicked out of power, and they may come to a bad end. So they're not going to back down with what they've done. They've got to keep the charade going as long as people will buy into it. And with the media spreading it, I mean, they'll probably, you know, take it to where they want to take it, unfortunately.
I think I saw some reports from Australia, possibly New Zealand as well, perhaps. And there were a lot of incidents of citizens being harmed physically, pretty severely by whatever police, for disobeying the lockdown orders, the curfew orders. And I'm guessing that has been occurring, reports you've heard of there, pretty severely.
Well, yeah, I mean, people getting fined for not wearing masks, being beaten for not wearing masks. But I mean, yeah, we've seen this in the United States as well. There was a lady arrested in Ohio at a football game for not wearing a mask, and she was tased for not wearing a mask. Crazy, you know. But they'll say, oh, no, it isn't. She wasn't tased for not wearing a mask. She was tased for disobeying an order. But that's just escalating the thing. I mean, she wasn't wearing a mask, which is why we hadn't approached her to begin with. And then you escalated the situation to the point where you committed violence against her, because she wouldn't comply, you know. And the fact that you know, someone is willing to push it that far simply because someone's not wearing a mask, they're willing to do physical harm to them, is outrageous. And that's what we're seeing in Victoria in many cases. There was a woman strangled for not wearing a mask, grabbed by the throat, thrown to the ground for not wearing a mask, people being beaten. People being beaten just for breaking curfew, for going outside, for moving more than 5 kilometres from their house, going to a shop outside the 5 kilometre zone. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And none of it's legal, none of it's lawful. And people should be pushing back against it, but against the type of brutality that they're seeing from the police, it's very difficult for them to do so, you know. Unfortunately, many of the neighbours will go along with it. I mean, so many people are actually thinking the government is doing the right thing and saving them from a pandemic. It's unbelievable. They should turn their televisions off and get some real information.
Yeah, we just had the presidential first debate last night. But when I was thinking of this lockdown, after some of the words that were thrown back and forth during that, I noticed how the corporations and the perception of the corporations are really leading the way for all of the restrictions, all of the mandates for masks and for the lockdowns and everything else. Politics seems to now take its lead from the corporations. It's like corporatism, which is leading this lockdown. And it does seem like compliance. You speak of this, you've been speaking about this for a lot of years, but I do think that it's compliance and control even more than any vaccine agenda. I don't buy the public health agenda on the surface as a true concern. A lot of people are linking this to Agenda 21, a lot of the initiatives that exist within that.
Well, yeah, it is. It's absolutely Agenda 21. Yeah, you know, the vaccine is mainly about hooking people up to the grid with hydrogel, I would say. But yeah, it's all Agenda 21 across the board. It's about the removal of the middle class, the complete destruction of the world economy, and moving us into a new financial system. You know, the Great Reset, they're calling it. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, they've got to find a way of doing it. So they've got to provide a backstory, which is the pandemic is the backstory, which is going to provide the excuse for this world crash, the crash of the economy, which is going to be full on and just devastating. Like, I'd be surprised if the US economy lasts till the end of the year. It certainly won't last till the end of next year, but I'd be surprised if it actually lasts till the end of this year. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a major, major crash. And when the US economy goes down, the entire world economy is going to go down. And that's going to lead to all sorts of stuff. But it's about a complete restructuring of the world and moving everybody, getting everybody on a universal basic income, removing the middle class. So we've got a situation where we've got the rulers and we've got the serfs. That's what they want. And in between, you will have the army of brain-dead thugs in black Kevlar that keeps the serfs in line. You know, all of the police. But a lot of people are not going to make it through what's coming, because through this whole process, what they've also done is broken down the food chain, which will get people dependent upon government. Now, because once the food runs out, people are going to be dependent upon trucks for handouts or whatever, and you're going to have to do what you're told. You're going to have to follow the government line. You're going to have to take your vaccine and get your health passport and everything that you need so you can go shopping to make sure you're not infectious. You know, we're heading into a full Hunger Games type society, and that's what they want out of this, and that's where it's going. Even if we were to, you know, pull the governments down now and replace them with some real people, the fact that the food chain is broken down and they've already done so much effort to destroy that, destroy transport and destroy food production, that's what is happening in the background, and that's what a lot of people aren't noticing, and that's why people need to prepare for it. People really do need to hunker down. I mean, we've been screaming out about this for a few months now. We've been screaming out that it's a fraud and, you know, the masks and all the sort of stuff we're talking about. But, you know, a lot of people are focusing on that and they're not seeing the breakdown of the food chain behind it. And it's really got to the point that if people haven't woken up that this is a scam by now, then unfortunately the sleeping masses are going to lead the rest of the people into this slavery system. And we need to start taking action now to put ourselves in a safe place so that doesn't happen. You know, spread information, sure, but get food, hunker down, and get yourself a good set of supplies and be prepared to weather the storm where you are, because a storm is definitely coming.
And stop being so dependent on the government. That's what they want, right? To get us dependent on them, and then they can cut off or ration or bring in the social credit scores. Like they're seeing in China already.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They're talking about it here. They're talking about you pay with your face. Your DNA will be your data. And this is happening everywhere, not just here, but they're bringing it in everywhere. This is why I severed all ties with government like 10 years ago. I told them I don't want their pension. I don't want their Medicaid cards. I don't want anything from them. I don't want anything from government, because everything you give me was all stolen from somebody else. And I've been completely independent of these people for at least the last 10 or 15 years. And I think I've kind of prepared myself to weather the storm. So, I mean, I've kind of stepped out of the system a long time ago, and I've managed to still survive by not being in the system. So I haven't really noticed too much of a change through this lockdown, through everything that's happening. I haven't changed my life at all. The only difference I've seen is that some shops have been closed. But that's the only change that I've made, and I won't be changing anything. I'm sort of reasonably prepared to be able to weather what's coming, as much as anybody is. But we're heading in for a really, really new world, and a lot of people are simply not going to make it through. And it's a pretty freaky thing to see, because, you know, when people lose everything and their backs get to the wall, society is going to get pretty crazy. And we're heading into that situation now. And the governments aren't going to warn you about it. I'll just let it happen. And I'll be surprised if there even is an election, to be honest. I mean, in the United States, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens before now and then, which cancels the election or delays the election or whatever. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I think anybody's guess what's going to come in the next couple of months.
Yes. And... well, I've heard some sources claiming that before they can be ready to collapse the United States, they need an economic war with China. I thought you'd be a very good source to ask for this. In addition to being on top of these other topics you just mentioned, over a decade ahead of most people, we're seeing all of the things you've been researching and talking about confirmed more and more these days. But at the same time, I know Australia... has had a lot of investment from China. For some time now, they've been buying up a lot of real estate, have a lot of corporate control and influence, I'm sure, over the politics by now as well, therefore. And, well, I know Africa, of course, because of the natural resources, have had China kind of ahead of the game. And now other countries are trying to get in their stake. Israel, the United States, I imagine Russia as well. But I imagine you have more intel on China than we would. Just being in Australia, closer to a lot of their networking and infrastructure. So I'm curious to hear your insights on this theory that there has to be an economic war with China before the U.S. will truly become weak enough in enough ways to really take it down.
Well, with what's happening with COVID-19, with this whole pandemic, I mean, this is virtually that economic war now. I mean, this has devastated the U.S. economy, and China's just partying at the moment. They're having parties. You look at Wuhan, they're having beach parties, everyone rubbing shoulders and no masks. And it's party time over there, no pandemic in China. You know, so it's kind of already happening. They've got such a foothold in this country now, it's absurd. I mean, I don't think we'll ever get them out. But the thing is, you've got to kind of look beyond that and realize that at the very top of the system, there are no countries, there are no governments, there is no China. There's just one big corporate system. It's a system of multi-generational, national criminal cabal masquerading as a system of international governments and nations, and they all work together. They've been incubating this Chinese system in China for a long time. They closed China off, closed all the borders, you know, created this hugely totalitarian system there with the Mao revolution, the Cultural Revolution of Mao Zedong. And then they controlled everybody for the next few decades. And then they've introduced this capitalist system, which was brought in there by the bankers, by the Rothschilds, by the same people who run the United States and England and everywhere else. See, once they got all the people subservient, they got all the people walking between the lines and walking around wearing masks on and doing everything the government said, then they brought the capitalist system to them. So China is a very, very strong capitalist nation at the moment. I mean, it's communist, but it's also capitalist. It's an interesting dichotomy you've got going on in China. And they want to bring that out to the rest of the world. They have to provide the backstory to do that. So here you've got, okay, we've got a Chinese takeover in Australia. Daniel Andrews has sold all of these commodities and special interests to China. And oh my God, they've got a foothold in the country. And now they're going to bring it in everywhere. And now the whole concept that, you know, there's this whole contest going on between the United States and China for control of the technology, and we need economic this and economic that. It's all theater and backstories. It's just creating the backstory to be able to bring in this Chinese social crediting system right around the world. They're doing it everywhere. You know, Ireland, they've got health passports they're bringing in Ireland. It's the same thing. It's just a different way of doing it. However you're going to get it into the minds of the Irish people, however you're going to get it into the minds of the Australian people, the United States people, different cultures, different things, different ways of getting it into people's minds and bring it in to be part of their life. Ultimately, it will be all about social crediting right around the world. You'll be paying with your face. It'll be a digital currency. It'll be all based on biometrics. It'll be based on what your body is doing as to how much currency you get. If you look at the QFS, the quantum financial system they want to bring in, they've already set up a whole bunch of centers for all over the United States. I think there's already 192 centers for it. This is what they want to do. They want to replace all world economies, all world currencies with a quantum system, which is a digital currency, which will sit above crypto, above everything else. Every single transaction will be monitored. It will be geo-tracked. It will be geo-located. They will know exactly every cent that is being spent on everything, who spent it, who you had that interaction with, who you bought it from, every single grain of rice, every single grain of wheat, every single thing that is harvested or picked or farmed will have its own barcode, will have its own GPS tracking locator. We're talking every grain of rice. This is what they want to do. They want to know where every single thing is. They want to know who bought it, who's trading. And it's all being done to keep it all transparent and all honest, so you won't have anyone interfere with your finances. Well, I don't know. No one interferes with my finances anyway. I find it quite easy to pick up $20 and go and buy something. I don't need all of this stuff there to provide security for me. But that's what it's all been rolled out under the guise of, but it's all one system. So when people look at China and say, well, China is this big threat to the world, that's just the backstory. That's just the backstory. They've always wanted to bring this Chinese system in. They've just been incubating it in China and perfecting it in China, closed all the borders. They've done it there behind closed doors where no one's been able to see it. Now they know what they want. They just have to find a way of bringing it into the rest of the world in a way that people will find it believable that it actually happened. So they've got to provide the backstory for it. So that's what people have to look at. I mean, you've got to look at the world as being a people farm. It's one giant people farm, one giant conglomerate. It's a whole corporate entity. They all work together. The whole concept of nations and states and enemies and wars, all of this stuff is theater designed to lead people exactly to where we are, where we've got this one world system where everybody is locked into the grid. Everybody's monitored 24/7, everything they do. That's what they want, and that's what they're doing with it. And that's they're using China to provide the backstory to do that. But if you look beyond things, look beyond the theater, look beyond the rhetoric, look beyond the financial system, look beyond all of the media hype and all of the concept of enemies and people vying for power, and realize that this is one corporate structure, and it really starts to begin to make sense what they're doing and where they're going. And when you see it that way, you can see the end game, which is why it all becomes so predictable, which is why 10 years ago I was able to make films saying exactly what they're doing now, because when you step back and look at it and you know what the end goal is, then you can see every step along the way and where it's leading, and that's where it's leading to.
Oh, it's very true. It is deceptive because, like you say, the nation state is just a guise. And, I mean, the closest thing on the surface, which confirms the real power structure, allows it to be seen, is perhaps, well, the World Economic Forum, for example. You know, that represents a lot of these corporations. They've been meeting annually since 1971. But I know this goes back centuries, is what you're describing. It's the same old, you know, the same old power structure. And just the people with the most money, I guess originally goes back to what royalty, and I mean we also have a lot of what has become the lineage of the bankers, you know, these tribal oligarchs. And it's definitely, well, at a point now where, like you say, they want to bring the Chinese system everywhere implemented, and biometric data, right? They want, and this COVID set of vaccines and tracking you for testing, even though we know how inaccurate these tests are, they're not even designed to be real tests. What PCR tests, we're getting ridiculous inaccuracy rates or false positives at like 90% false positive in a lot of cases. But
yeah, 97% false positives in some cases. I mean, when you get 97% false positives, you don't have a test. I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious to people. You can pretty well reverse everything. Okay, if you tested negative, that means you're positive. If you tested positive, that means you're negative. What's the point of that test, you know?
Yeah, but it's more excuse for tracking you, putting, like you say, the hydrogel, and, well, there's... Well, they're mentioning nanoparticles that are like little machines, and that's what the hydrogel is. Isn't that right?
The hydrogel is an interesting stuff. The hydrogel is an interface. It's a type of stuff which will it's a Wi-Fi sender and receiver, and it's the stuff that can inject into your body, and it will bond with any part of your body. It'll bond with your capillaries, with your blood cells, with your bones, with anything, and it will grow with them, and your body won't reject it, and it has the ability to send and receive a signal, a Wi-Fi signal. So this is how they hook you up to the mainframe. It's pretty freaky stuff. I mean, and the vaccines is what it's all about, to get you. You know, when you look at the health app and the vaccines they will give you, this is why the mandatory vaccines to save us from this virus. People are saying, oh, the vaccines are what's going to kill us. Well, maybe, but I would say the vaccines are what's going to hook you up to the mainframe. They're going to have hydrogel in them. And that's what it's always been about. It's important to understand that this whole pandemic is about hooking us up into this new system. hydrogel is simply the way they're going to do it. And with the vaccines, I mean, to even create a vaccine this quickly, they're saying, oh, it's because we've got everybody in the world, all countries are all pulling together to do this, so we've been able to do it in record time. No, it doesn't work that way. The shortest they've ever done a vaccine before, and I don't agree with any vaccines, but the shortest they've ever done a vaccine was a mumps vaccine, which took 4 years for them to develop. The reason it takes so long to develop vaccines is because you don't know what the result is going to be from these vaccines without taking it over time. You need to see what the reaction is going to be with people over a year, over 2 years, over 3 years, over 4 years, over 5 years, over 10 years. What's the results of this vaccine? That's why it takes so long to develop them, because a lot of the things, that the problems that develop from vaccines, you don't see them until years later. That's why the clinical trials take years and years and years. So there is nothing, there is no excuse they can provide as to how they've been able to come up with this vaccine, you know, in a matter of a year or 18 months. It was already there. It was already done. Now, the whole concept of vaccines and the whole virology and all the stuff they've done up to the years, I would suggest it was even done just to get people trusting vaccines so they could, or they could do this one that they've got now. This is what it's always been about. The whole medical industry, the whole virology industry, the whole concept that you can even catch viruses, they're contagious, all this sort of rubbish that they spread, it's all been leading to this point. So you would believe it. So you would accept this one vaccine they want to give you, which is going to change all your RNA, change all your DNA, and bring you into the mainframe. That's what it's all about. It's all been leading up to this point. You know, and a lot of the doctors out there, I mean, you can't blame all the doctors. They're just taught what they're taught and they believe what's in the books and, you know, they get brainwashed and they go out there and they sell it to the rest of the world. Most of the people that are, you know, many of the doctors who believe in vaccines aren't evil people. They just believe what they've been taught to believe, you know. But really, when you look at it, you step back and look at it, how the whole medical industry has been constructed and contrived. It's been designed to lead us to this point we're at right now, where they can absolutely modify us and turn the human race into something else. And that's what it's always been leading to.
And that is very disturbing as well, that, well, the genome will absorb synthetic properties, is how I heard it described, to change our DNA in that way. And then since that is patented, some are asking, are we going to be patented and owned by them now? Patented humans, GMO humans. But this hydrogel is even more disturbing. And it also the fact that only certain outlets in the independent media and people like yourself are mentioning this at all. You know, I mean, it doesn't even sound like all that, you know, hydrogel. You know, hydro just sounds like water. Hydrogel, but no, it's nanotechnology. So you can send and receive messages like you've confirmed, and I'm hearing these same things elsewhere. Therefore, it can detect emotion and all these sort of things, surveillance. We're talking about like DARPA sort of technology.
Well, that's who's actually developed it. You can go to the DARPA website and you can look for a company called Profusa, which is a subsidiary company of DARPA. And it is Profusa who is actually developing the hydrogel. And when you look at the lockdown, how they said, you know, everybody's got to close, we can only have essential services going. Well, the development of hydrogel through Profusa and DARPA was fast-tracked during that time. It was seen as an essential service. Think about that one. They really, really push this while everything else is shut down. They're still in there developing this DARPA hydrogel. So, yes, what it's always been about. This is what it's leading to. They want us hooked up into the mainframe. And they don't expect everybody to take the hydrogel. They don't expect everybody to take the vaccines. The plan is for most people not to. Look at the Georgia Guidestones. They want to reduce the world to 500 million. What do you think? They're actually just going to come and kill people? Of course, they're going to create a situation like this, where a lot of people will simply bug out. A lot of people won't do it. A lot of people won't accept the vaccine, and then they'll get ostracized by society. So they only need a certain amount of people to do it. When you look at the what they're doing in Thailand, for example, the children with face masks on as soon as they're born, and they're giving them these vaccines and putting face masks on them and socially isolating these children the moment they're born. this is doing incredible damage, psychological damage to children. I mean, children need their mother. They need that love. When they're born, you isolate them and put them in a crib with a visor over their face. Unbelievable, you know. But these are the ones, these sort of people who grow up into the system. They're going to grow up very, very strange people. But it's happening in the West as well. You'll see this in Western hospitals as well. And they're the ones they want. They want the kids that are being born now, that are being born into this pandemic, new normal reality, and where they're going to be in 20 years from now. They're going to be grown up into the system. Remember this, you know, they're talking about 2050. We'll be in a completely new world. So that's the kids that are being born now, that are growing into adults by 2050. So they're all, you know, 25 years old and 30 years old. And so, you know, they're the ones that are running the system. That's what they want, long-term plans. They want all us to just die off. And that's the way it's going to be. But, you know, the thing is, they don't want any old people around, anybody who's got any memory of what the world was like before this happened. They need to control the information, control the media, which is another reason why they've created the internet, because the internet is a great place for, you know, bringing the ministry of truth. You can just delete whatever books you don't want, delete whatever websites you don't want. People publish books online now. They can't get published because Amazon doesn't agree with what they're saying, so they don't publish their books. So you can't put ideas out there anymore. It's all controlled. It's all got to be government approved. So how are people ever going to get the information? You know, people think Google is the be-all and end-all, and Google can't lie. It's just a search engine, and whatever you throw, it will give you the true results, which is a complete load of rubbish. It's totally filtered. So, you know, but this is what people are learning. So this is the world they're growing up into. So, you know, with all the effort we are doing now to try to create personal freedom for ourselves, we're not looking at where the world is going. You know, the need to educate people into what's happening, the need to push back against all this technology. I mean, really, I think the best thing that could happen to the world at the moment would be an EMP to shut all the tech down, to shut the technology down. I mean, what can I say? The Unabomber was right. He went about things the wrong way, but he was right in what the internet is leading us to. That would be the most beneficial thing to do at the moment. The internet, it's a double-edged sword. It's given us so much information. It's given us so much freedom. I wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for the internet. I wouldn't have traveled around the world and done all the stuff I've done and been all the places I've been if it wasn't for the internet. But by the same token, it is a slavery tool as well, which is being used against us now. And it is itself turning itself against us. When you bring all this into this quantum financial service they want to do, look at all the new legislation they're rolling out. The Terrorism Prevention Act, they've just brought it in the United States. We've got Omnibus here in Australia, which is virtually the same thing. It's a way for them to round up dissenters, keep people under house arrest, keep anybody who thinks outside the box away from everybody else so they don't have that information to share. And it's just going to get more and more tighter. So over the next 10 years, the next 15 years, we're going to get led into this system, which is going to be, the world's going to be completely unrecognizable from what it is now. But it's all got to come from a crash. They really want everything to just hit rock bottom because that's the way people will accept it. If it's a financial crash, you know, something like the Great Depression or whatever, we'll see this as an economic necessity, something that is a result of this terrible pandemic. Nobody can help it because of the virus, and it provides the fertile ground they need to build their new world order on, and that's what they're doing. But a lot of people won't make it through, bro. They don't care about that, and they don't intend a lot of people to make it through. They intend a lot of people to die through the next 12 months, 18 months. So, yeah, very, very different world we're moving into. That's why, yeah, I said to people, with all the stuff we're doing, trying to wake people up and push back, I mean, I've been doing this for 10 or 15 years out here on the front line. I've been doing it for most of my life, but really loudly for the last 10 or 15 years on the front line. But it's got to the point now that you've got to read the writing on the wall. You know, if people haven't woken up now, when you know, ignorance is absolutely a choice these days. I mean, information is there for everybody. If you don't know what's going on, it's your choice. And you've got to read the writing on the wall and realize that, okay, a lot of people are not going to wake up. They're going to lead us into this. It's just where we're going. No matter how much we push back, things aren't really changing. So you've got to prepare yourself a plan B. You've got to get yourself a good supply of food, and you've got to be prepared to hunker down and weather the storm that's coming. I think it's really prudent advice for people to do that. I mean, sure, we've got to keep pushing back, trying to keep waking people up and try, you know, don't ever just become complacent about it and defeatist about it, but have that cover there, have that plan B there, have the supplies you need, have the water, the food there put away for you and your family to be able to get through what's coming. I think it's important that people do that.
Well, that's sound advice. I hope everyone looks into that, including storables, perhaps getting a lot of those large packs of seeds. So you have a survival seed pack of pretty much anything you could think of to try to grow. Get a couple of them, one to store and the other to start using now to start growing your own garden. Definitely. And, well, barter, perhaps, for things that you can't produce yourself. I don't know, especially specialty items, spices, meats, cheeses. I'm sure a lot of
I got lots of staples and stuff. I got lots of rice. I got lots of flour. I got lots of stuff that I can make bread from. I can make corn chips from. I got lots of canned food as well. I don't normally eat canned food, but canned food will last a long time. Cans will last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that. I mean, stuff that you got to fall back on. Staples, lots of rice, things that you can make meals out of. I mean, I think it's important. I really do. Because the shops, they're not going to have supplies in there. We've even been told in Australia here that Australia's going to be out of rice by Christmas. So, yeah, interesting times, brother.
So they're getting ready then for another wave of lockdowns, another wave of a pandemic, and having an economic crash perhaps overlap with that.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. The economic crash is coming. And just the amount of money, stimulus they've been flooding into the United States, you can't put that much cash in circulation and expect anything good to come from it. What, $7 trillion or something they've put into the U.S. economy since this pandemic started?
And they said it's
a downward. Ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. How do you just print $7 trillion and put it into circulation and expect things to stay normal? I mean, you're looking at Venezuela-type hyperinflation coming into the United States. And I've even noticed the food prices here. I mean, if I went and did a shop for, say, $100 2 months ago, that same shop would cost me $120 to $130 now. And that's a pretty substantial rise just in a matter of a couple of months.
Yeah.
You know, a few cents here, a few cents there. So things are going pretty weird pretty quickly. And I think if people aren't prepared by Christmas, they're going to be very sorry. People need to prepare. They really do need to prepare for what's coming.
Okay, well, that is something I don't think enough people are taking seriously enough. And then, of course, in the long term, we have to keep spreading the information. Like you say, the people who are being born now, the generation they've yet to name, I suppose, are going to be potentially conditioned to be these United Nations children, right? I hear we never may lose our pseudo-nationality of nation states, just to keep people docile to think they have their independence or sovereignty of the different nations. But it will be a one world government. Perhaps this will usher in the sought after UN digital currency. Do you think that could be in the near future?
Absolutely. That's absolutely what they want to do with the quantum financial services. I mean, they're talking about it. The IMF is talking about it. They're talking about how all economies must go. They're basically saying, you know, we need to crash the world economy so something good can come from it, basically, is what they're saying. Yeah, we're in a situation now that it's untenable. Too many people are starving. You know, it's too out of balance. So, you know, universal basic income is what they want. We don't want anyone starving, or we don't want anyone well off either. You know, but we want everyone just above the poverty line, what they're really talking about if you read between the lines. That's what they're going to do. They're going to crash the middle class. They're going to get rid of it completely. The reason they've opened businesses now, like allowing people to stay open, but you've got to have social distancing in place, is so that these people who actually do think the economy is going to come back and things are going to go back to normal, you know, if your business hasn't gone down now, I mean, like, and 60 to 70% of businesses that are closed in the United States will never reopen now. you know, if you are someone who is going to reopen, well, we'll give you enough leeway to reopen your business with only half the clientele you could have had, so that you'll put all your money into that business, trying to keep it afloat, you know, thinking that the world's going to return to normal when it isn't. And that way we get to bleed you dry as well, and we can throw you on the pile with everybody else and completely and utterly destroy the middle class. That's what they're doing, and that's the plan. And that's what all this is about. So, yeah, there is talk from themselves. Like I said, the IMF, the World Bank, the United Nations, they're all talking about how the world economy must go, it must crash, and we need a new global reset and a new world financial system. That will, of course, all be digital. That's what they want to do. They want to bring it in as an umbrella over the top of all the other digital currencies, make all fiat currencies illegal, make all cryptocurrencies illegal, and just this one universal currency. That's what they want.
Yes. And as far as the, well, one world system crashing, I mean, you say that it's just an illusion, the separation of the nation states at the moment. I mean, but to a certain extent, is it all interconnected? I mean, we hear about China having an alternative to the SWIFT system for international trade, and Russia has been using that with them as well as Iran and other countries already, that Russia is trying to develop a similar system to that as well, trading outside of the U.S. dollar. It's losing its place as the reserve currency. I mean, are these real changes toward a more Chinese-centric economic system, even if it is all connected at the top?
Well, it's the problem is thinking about it as the Chinese system. It's not. It's just the one that they've modified and created that they want to run out to the rest of the world. It's not specifically Chinese. Chinese is run by the same bankers that runs everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? That's just the system that they've developed. Okay, here's the one that works. And we can say, oh, it's China and Russia doing this to bring it. No, they're just part of the players. They've just got the one that the bankers like. And that's the one they want to use for their whole world.
Right.
So they'll create the whole backstory of it being a political thing. But really, no, this is just a control grid. They've had it perfected. They've worked it out. Okay, here it is. We've done it in China. We've been worked it out over the last 20 years. So now they've got to create the backstory of this economic tension and this vying for power and who gets to control the AI. You know, it's the race to control 5G, the race to control AI. Whoever controls AI first will rule the world. All this bullshit that they create, it's all bullshit. It's all one system, you know. It's one system. That's just what they've developed, that they've perfected it in China. Now they create the backstory to be able to bring it out to the rest of the world. And we see it as economical competition and political theater, you know, but it's not. It's the plan. That's always been the plan, you see?
Yes. Yes, certainly. It is a good way to see, the advantages of it being cloaked.
All the world's a stage, brother. All the world is a stage. And like I said, you've got to, it's really difficult and a really difficult thing for people to do, to get the whole concept of nations and states and you know, political leaders arguing with each other and you know, this whole feudal system that we think is there, where we've got these nations feuding with each other, it's all theater. The whole lot of it is theater. At the very top, they're all working together. You know, what they do with these wars and all this economic tension and all this vying for power between nations is they provide an excuse for the citizens, a reason for the citizens to believe that they need their government there to protect them, because the world is this big, unstable place. There's all this competition out there, and you'd never be able to figure it out. You need these guys at the top that can keep your borders safe because the rest of the world wants to come and kill you. And they tell you that in every single country you go to. But it's a scam. You know, the government provides all of this difficulty and scarcity and all these problems because it provides the reason that you need them there to look after you. Because, oh, my God, what would you do without us, you know? It's like when they sit in V for Vendetta. I want fear. I want fear out there everywhere. I want the people to realize that they would be they would be terrified. They would be devastated if we weren't there to protect them, you know? That's what the governments do. They create the whole situation to provide the need for them to even exist. when we don't need them. They're the ones who create all the problems, you know. So it's important for people to see that, but it's a really difficult thing for people to get their heads around because they've been educated. They've been taught that, oh, well, yeah, and they can get it to a certain point. And then 5 minutes later, they're arguing over what the politicians are arguing about and talking about the different nations and what they're competing for. They've just lost it all again, and they've gone back to believing what the media tells them. It's all one big puppet show, and it's all leading to ultimate control of every single person in every single country, and the entire world is doing the same thing, and all the governments work together. It's one big criminal family masquerading as a system of international governments and nations. That's how it works. It's just very difficult for people to get their heads around it because there's so much theater involved and so much rhetoric and all these excuses and the economic this and the economic that. And the, you know, it's all rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. It's one system, one holistic system of systems, and it functions like an interconnected cog. I mean, that's how it is. It's one big machine.
Perhaps part of why it's hard, so hard for people to absorb that reality, is it makes it seem so much more daunting, you know, a challenge to be up against. They're hoping for at least a lot of these separate players on the globe, in the world. But if it's just that one monolith that they feel, oh, what can I do? And feel defeated from the start in their psychology. And even on an unconscious level, perhaps that makes it harder to even consider when they're even told it. I know it's just hard for a lot of listeners probably to fully grasp, but I'm sure looking into this more, you'll see a lot of connections where things really won't make sense behind the scenes. A lot of players who will wind up seeming on the same side, I'm sure, like you describe, in economic and political gain. But as far as the amount you can do, like you say, getting off the grid, not being plugged in, local resistance, and what? Independence, independent living.
Independent living. I mean, I've always said the power of community, if people could connect with the people around them in their own community and be supportive of the people around them and always stand up for each other, we could change the world in a day. It's people's, you know, failure to do that. People always looking to the government to come and help them. People happy to see their neighbors, you know, repressed and destroyed or whatever because it makes them feel better about their lives. It's that type of mentality that's caused the problem. Now, we could change the world in a day if we just refused to tolerate wrong behavior and we indulged in right action all the time. That would change everything. You know, we constantly step outside our moral compass to obey government dictates. We do the wrong thing in almost every aspect of our lives every day in order to collect the paper we need to pay to be alive. You know, we're fully immersed in this corporate system and we fail to be human through the whole thing. That's the problem, you know, like it's our lack of belief in ourselves and our lack of belief in the people around us, the need to measure each other by the size of our front doors. It's ridiculous. So when you see that, you think, well, what is the solution? You know, how can you vote people into power or vote people out of power and create any sort of solution that way when all you've really got to do is change the direction that your heart is going, change your perspective, change the way you interact with people? And it's all very well for you to do it, but if other people don't do it, well, they just take you for a ride and throw you on the trash heap. So that's the problem. But if the whole world was to do that, if the whole world was to simply sit back into their moral compass and refuse to comply with any dictate that's caused them to do otherwise, we'd change the world in a day. So that's the thing, you know, that's the situation that we're in. People can't see the forest for the trees. They want the solutions. I mean, all the problems that they seem to face are all external problems that are coming at them. And so they look for external solutions, build walls and barriers against these problems. They're not realizing that all of these problems that are coming at them are a result of people not acting within their moral compass. People not even having a moral compass in many cases. That's the situation. That's the problem. You know, this is a spiritual battle, a spiritual revolution more than anything. And even through that, people, you know, they always step back into the physical. They're looking for physical outside remedies, external problems, not realizing that all the problems can be solved by changing that which is within. you know, and applying that to the people that you live with and people around you, that's what will change the world. So, you know, when you see that, I mean, what is the solution, brother? The solution is unity. The solution is love. How can you do that in this situation? People, you say that to people, they look at you like you've got rocks in your head. You know, they're going to go out there and march with Black Lives Matter or Antifa or something and go and shake their fist at the system thinking that it's going to make a difference. It's even when people look into, you know, who to blame for this whole situation. Who is it? Is it the Rothschilds? Is it the Jesuits? Is it the Jews? Is it this? Is it that? It's you for using the tech. It's the people that are using the tech. It's the people using their credit cards. It's the people going along with it. It's the people putting their masks on and saying no, not saying no. People who are so worried about death, people will do anything they can. People will allow themselves to be repressed and repressed and repressed because they're scared of death. They're scared of standing up for themselves. You know, they'll let themselves live their life as an absolute abject slave. They're going to die anyway rather than standing up for themselves right now. That's the problem. You're just saying, no, people have forgotten that word. No, we won't do this. It's a fraud. No, we're not going to do it. No, we're not going to put masks on. And no, we're not going to do what you say. And no, we're not going with you for you to put us in a cage. If you want to murder me right here on the street, fine, let's boogie. I'll see if I can take you out at the same time because I'm not going with you, you know, and I'm not backing down. I'm not doing what you say. You don't own me. Why can't people think like that? That's the way I'll be. If they come to arrest me, I'm just not going. I'm not going with you to go to your courtroom or go to your cage. If you want to murder me now, go ahead. I'll pick up something and I'll fight back. Because, you know, I'm not going with you. I'm not doing what you say, you know. I came here to die anyway. I'm not going to live on my knees. If you want to kill me now. You know, that's my attitude towards the whole thing. I'm not doing what you say. I won't step outside my moral compass. I won't comply. You know, I'll do the right thing in all that I do, and I will face infinity without flinching. It's people's failure to do that. If people just had that attitude and turned off their television sets, this whole pandemic would go away, you know. So that's the problem, Richard, is the people, they're scared to be themselves. They're timid. There's no men anymore. Where's the men protecting their women? Where's the people standing up saying, hey, no, this is all bullshit. This is all rubbish. We won't do this. Where's the people just standing in their truth? That's what we need, and that's what will change the world. You know, you can't vote anybody in, have any political remedy, think that there's some new system you can create. This system could work if people were simply in their integrity. The system would fall away. It wouldn't be the way it was, you know. That doesn't, you know, the system of trade or whatever that we've got. I mean, things would work if people were simply acted in integrity, but they're not prepared to do that. They're always prepared to follow the dictates of others and step outside their moral compass and do what they're told. And so this is the situation that we get. You know, and until people are prepared to realize that, you know, the one that they have to change is the one staring back at them in the mirror, then we're not going to change anything. You know, if people are still looking for someone to vote in and vote out and some new leader to come along and, oh, Max is going to come and save us. He's got the plan to save the world, or Trump's going to come and save us, or this or that. It's a new nanny. New nanny to come along and save me because I'm not prepared to stand up and save myself. That's the situation that we've got. And when you see that, I mean, sure, it becomes a little daunting. Because people can't see the forest for the trees. They're looking for the remedy externally, not seeing that they are the remedy. So Gandhi said, I mean, he was a politician, but at least he did say one good thing, and that is be the change that you want to see in the world. And if people would do that, then the world would change.
Well, there's so much good advice there. Definitely, I hope everyone can learn from all of that and try to live by it. And that's it. People don't develop their own moral compass or decide how to live their life and make their own decisions based on right or wrong. Research things more for themselves. Think for themselves. And the materialism, like you say, plays into it a lot. The technology these days, an extension of the materialism, that really has people addicted more than they realize. I hear a lot of the likes people will get in social media triggers a lot of the same parts of the brain they'll get from cocaine addicts getting their fix, for example. So that's very telling.
Well, yeah, it's a dopamine addiction. That's what it is. You get a little dopamine release every time you get a like, or even when you click your cell phone, a little event happens. This dopamine releases. So it's a dopamine addiction. That's why people click their cell phones all the time. Most people, average people, check their cell phones around about 300 times a day. even if there is no messages. They just pick it up and they scroll, they do something, tap an icon, whatever, because every time they do, it's a little dopamine release. So, yeah, and it's a dopamine addiction, and they've worked it out, and they plan it. They create apps and devices to make them addictive, and they sit there, they've got rooms full of people who sit there and they study how to make them more addictive, you know. So it's pretty insidious what they're doing. And that's the problem, you know. People are living their lives looking for instant gratification, and they're measuring their lives by the amount of pleasure they receive from that life at every moment of every day. And when they're addicted to dopamine, they're getting these little pleasure releases every few seconds when they tap their phone, then normal life just becomes boring, you know. They're not getting that pleasure release. They're not getting that dopamine that they're addicted to. That's the problem, and it's insidious. So that's why it would be great if there was just an EMP and the whole thing shut down. People would go crazy without their cell phones. It's amazing. Most people can't even find their way around their homes and around their towns now without a cell phone. It's crazy. People need a GPS to find their way around their local area where they grew up. Crazy stuff.
Well, I admit I did play a lot of video games when I was a child growing up. You know, I grew up once it was past its infancy, basically, with Atari and then Nintendo coming out and also computer games. But I pretty much stopped. I stopped when I got a bit older, you know, near my high school to college years. I got into music more and other things and became more philosophical. But when I look back now at that and I look at how people respond with their social media, electronic devices, I mean, I try to use them as a tool now, but I seem able to separate the two more than a lot of people. But I do see that same connection, at least when you're playing the video game. You know, as a child, you are expecting that dopamine release, you know. But yeah, people are locked in this constant preference of virtual reality. That might be the ultimate way that they enslave everyone. People wouldn't want to live outside the system, not having access to this newest technology, giving them this artificial pleasure.
Well, yeah, I mean, people would prefer to look at a virtual world on their screen than go out and experience the real world. And they can make themselves whatever they want in the virtual world. They can create an avatar, and it can be whatever they want. They can be a completely a person which is not like what they are, you know. So people like that, and it's people are losing their life skills. People find it very difficult to communicate with people these days. I mean, a lot of young kids do. They find it very difficult to operate in the real world. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be attractive to a lot of people to go into that, and they will. They'll go into it quite readily. I mean, a lot of people can't wait for the SCART plug. They can't wait for the microchip. They can't wait for human augmentation, you know, enhanced humans. They just want it because they've been programmed into wanting it. And that's what I mean. They only need 500 million people to do it. You know, we've got nearly 8 billion people on Earth. You know, they're talking about reducing 90% of the population. That's what they're happy for. They're happy to do that. So most people won't want to do this, but ones who do, well, that's all they're really interested in. And the ones who do, well, they're going to lead the others into it. And the way the media works, I mean, you could have 90% of the world being against this, and yet the media would tell them that, no, 90% of the world is actually for it. And then those 90% of the world who are against it will begrudgingly go with it anyway because they believe that, well, I guess everybody else is, so I have to. Even though they're not, it's just the media telling them that they are, you know. So it's a whole mind fuck that we're dealing with here. It's a whole mind game. And it's so well played, which is why people just have to do their own thing, stand in their own truth and be prepared to speak that. Because everybody I speak to, nobody wants to know about this, but they're not prepared to stand in their truth until they see someone else do it. Then they'll follow them. And the people are just sheep. They just want to follow the leader. They're not prepared to stand up themselves because they're too scared they might get knocked down. So they have this fear of death, this fear of ever actually being themselves and believing that they have any authority. Yeah, they're only prepared to do what other people will do. Yeah, I want to be free, and I'll be a revolution, but, you know, you first. As soon as you throw that first punch, I'll jump in with you. They're not prepared to do it themselves. Nobody is, so nobody ever throws it, and so nothing ever gets done. That's the problem, you see.
And they keep us separated with the technology instead of gathering more in person to even influence, you know, those of us who have, you know, this great insight, advice for living like you do, you know, it won't get out to enough people. I mean, even with the technology platforms, social media platforms, I mean, they limit how much most people can have exposure to each other, you know, even on their own friends list and all the shadow banning. So you'll think you're interacting with more in the virtual reality than you actually are reaching. They keep everyone compartmentalized. You'll have better odds to reach more people if you're out there in the street, you know, at the expressway, highway intersection or something. But people aren't even going to do that as much anymore. So, yeah, definitely at least changing own.
That's something I've done with the internet as well. I mean, they managed to silence so much good information by giving everybody a voice. That's what you do, you see. If you want to silence the truth speakers, you give everybody a soapbox so nobody can get hurt. Because then the whole crowd is screaming. Everybody's saying, me, 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 listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And no one can actually hear the guy over there who's actually got something worth saying that you actually need to hear. Because 90% of the people out there just want attention. They don't really have anything to say. They just want attention because they never had any through their lives. This is what we've done. You know, we've homogenized human beings. So through their childhood, people never got the attention from the mother and the parents that they needed. So they never really felt any value of themselves. They just want to be heard. They just want to believe they have value. So then you create this whole Instagram culture where if you're nice looking, then you can get all the attention and you can feel that you have value. But all the other people, they want to be heard as well. You know, so you create a situation where people are repressed. They've never really been able to express themselves. They've never really felt that love, felt that attention from their parents. And then you give everybody a soapbox. So everybody's screaming and then none of the voices get heard above the cacophony. That's how it works.
Yes. And well, it's frightening how easily people are falling into this more and more with the upcoming generations, but spreading this and information with those we can in our lives and, you know, the ways we can, as you and I do, but also I'd say just teaching by example, right? Living this way yourself. That's the most important step and first step. So.
Well, yeah, lead by example in what you do. I've always tried to do that. Just be a shining light in your own community and lead by example. And that's even knowing this information. I mean, I really try to be a good person. I really try to help people. I really try to give people because it's important for people to see that I'm empowered by having this information. I'm not sitting here in fear. Now, so many people can see what's coming and they see what's happening and they're sitting there screaming and trembling in fear and out there on the street corner with a megaphone saying, you know, the sky is falling. And everyone's looking at him going, oh my God, I don't want to be like him. He's freaked out and paranoid. I don't want to be like that. So you've got to be a good person. I mean, I have a lot of wonderful people in my life and people seem to be attracted to come and see me and meet me and hang out. And I try to be the best person I possibly can because I want people to know. And some people say to me, well, how come you never get stressed and you never get worried and you never got any of these problems? And I say, well, it's because, you know, I'm empowered by the knowledge that I have. I know how the world works. And so I'm able to get through it. I can see things clearly. I'm actually a better person because I have this information. I'm not freaked out. I'm not paranoid. I'm not thinking the sky is falling. I have no stake in the outcome of any of this. If the human race destroys themselves, well, they destroy themselves. I tried to offer a better way, a better solution, better way of doing things. But hey, if it's going to go that way, then it's going to go that way. I have no stake in it. I won't be here. You know, this is just a temporary existence that I'm living. I'm prepared to bow out and leave this realm anytime it happens. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to do what I'm told. If I have to exit the realm, well, I'll exit the realm in my own way. You know, but I'm not scared of it. I'm not scared of the future. I can just see a better option. And so I try to present that to people. You know, too many people have a stake in the outcome. They think that this life is the be all and end all and that they have to have this huge pile of stuff with gold edges on it or something to sit on by the time they die. I don't know what it's all about. I mean, people seem to collect stuff and they think they are their stuff and they get this huge pile of crap to sit on and they can sit down and say, well, here I am with all my stuff. I win. Well, you know, that's not what life's about. It's not a contest. You know, nobody wins. So, you know, I think it's having that attitude, and you've got to be prepared to show people that you are living the way you want to live, and you are empowered by this knowledge, and you're a better person because of it. It's people who look at the information and they fall into fear, and they go and quake and hide in the corner and wait for death to come gracefully. I mean, that's the problem when people do that. You know, it's this overwhelming fear of death, this overwhelming fear of authority, this overwhelming fear of the unknown, which has been programmed into us. It's difficult for people to get over that. I've always said you've got to walk the path of the warrior, and the trick is to face infinity without flinching. That is, you've got to be able to be prepared to face with serenity circumstances that are not included in your expectations. You need to be able to do that every day. And when it happens, you just go with the flow. It's just the next part of it. It's just the next chapter of your life. You deal with it the way it needs to be dealt with when it happens, because that's the path of the warrior, and that is facing infinity without flinching.
Well, those are some great words. I have a caller on the listening on the conference here. I was wondering if he maybe had any questions. Hello, John Church in South Carolina. Hello, John, are you still there with us?
Oh, yes, sir. Hey, Richard, I like your guest.
Yes, sir.
I concur. I'm in the States, you know, South Carolina, and went out and about to a rhino hunt meeting, which is a right-wing kind of meeting, low-key, hardworking men and women gathering to discuss, for one, the you know, don't take a vaccine, or but it is fairly daunting to know, you know, I think about that, too, about preparation. You know, there's a couple prep stores here, and I was there in a prep store 2 or 3 years ago. And but it's kind of surreal to be planning for martial law or the elimination of people gathering. You know, part of what you were saying, you know, that eventually the only way we'll get affection or trust or community activity is through the devices, you know, the cellular devices, or it seemed like when you contact real people, you realize how weak it is, and how anemic that interaction on the web is. And we want to gather and have solutions, and whoever has a solution has the most status. And they've reversed that through school and the social engineering. So, I mean, I'm just trying to add to what you were saying. I agree with everything you say, but you get that feeling, though, that, you know, you've been hoodwinked, you've been bamboozled, you've been, everything you know has been to engineer you into a slave. I remember back in the late 70s, a guy said, you know, they're bombarding us with microwaves. You heard a harp? And he's an old meditating guy, you know, with a beard and everything. And he's a real nice person. And he said, well, what makes you think we're being bombarded by microwaves? And he says, I can feel it when I meditate. Some of it gravitates toward bitterness, and then sometimes it's complacency. Then it's some kind of little agitating little microwave. It wasn't there when I started meditating, and me and my friends are concurring that we're being bombarded by microwaves. This is in the late 70s. And even he was saying, well, they're doing that for crowd control, was what he called it, was the same thing as separating people. But those are just my thoughts. It helps to get it out, you know, because, you know, I'm collecting, I want to go buy some rifles. And, you know, that's part of it, too. Protection, you know, there'll be roving bandits starving, going door to door. But I'll leave it at that. I think I'm building something right now, so I'm not in my right mind. You know, I'm lumber and things breaking down and fixing them, and I'm all alone working by myself. So I have no crowd. I have no group. I have no gathering. I have no church to go to. It's just like it's back to this cyber stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if Max would like to comment on some of what you said there, John.
Yeah, look, I totally sympathize with you and the cyber world that we're in and no human contact. It's crazy. But that's what they're doing. But the human contact is what it's all about. But the reason they've done that is so that people find human contact uncomfortable, you know? And, yeah, sure, there's going to be roving bands of bandits and all sorts of stuff. I mean, we're heading into a very different world, and it is surreal to be kind of here talking about it. Like, we've been talking about it for years and years of this is coming, and now it's here. It's kind of surreal. It really does feel like I've entered the Twilight Zone. This whole year feels like I'm in the Twilight Zone. It just feels like a different world to what it was last year. And, yeah, they've done everything they can to manipulate us. The Wi-Fi and the control of emotions has been going on for an extremely long time. And I've done heaps of tests just with light as well. Light and emotions, they're able to change the complete mood of rats and animals. And, you know, so I often wonder why the blue lights are in everything now. You know, it's that real cyber blue that's in everything now. Your mouse, your computers, the toaster, the jug, everything has these blue lights. I'm wondering what they're doing with this blue light spectrum, what that's got to do with things. And it doesn't surprise me that your friend felt that in meditation back in the 70s, that the microwaves were changing people's emotions. I think that's a lot of the reason why they've got away with what they've done. You know, the fluoride in the water and the microwave bombardment, the television sets, the microwave bombardment from the television sets as well, lulling people into that alpha state, putting them into a trance. So they just let the world, you know, turn to hell around them and don't do anything about it. They kind of notice it, but they don't notice it. It's just on their peripheral vision there, you know, but they don't really do anything about it. They're just in this dreamlike state most of the time. And most people's knowledge as well. I mean, it's all television noise. You go to work and you talk to people. Mostly they're talking about what they saw on the TV last night. You know, it's crazy. It's really, really affected people to an incredible degree.
And the 5G now, it's far different from what I understand than 3G, 4G were different types of waves. They were longer waves that weren't damaging, but the 5G, I'm told, is far different. It's shorter waves, much like the microwaves or a variant of such. Isn't that correct?
Well, yeah, the millimeter waves. This is DARPA technology. This is weapons-grade technology. Millimeter waves are used in weapons systems like active denial, crowd control systems, microwave cannons. These are all millimeter waves. Any type of military application, military electromagnetic application will use millimeter waves as the carrier wave. And that's what 5G is. It's millimeter waves. See, 5G, it's just fifth generation of communication. It's a whole different organism to what we've been using. Directed millimeter waves are military. So it's a weapon system. 5G is a weapon system. Communication is just a secondary part of it. With 5G blanket out across the world, any type of military electromagnetic weapon that you can think of can be applied to millimeter waves. So you could have microwave cannons. You can have, you know, the voice of God technology that they used in Iraq in the first Gulf War, that they actually bragged about the fact that they used that and put the voice of God into the Iraqi soldiers' heads. And so they all threw down their weapons and went to the front line to surrender. And they all got firebombed on the way. You know, they're very proud that they did that, and they openly admit that they did it. So that's the problem with 5G, is it's a weapon system. Communications is just its secondary function. And they're selling it to us as fast communication, but it's a weapon system. But what they need it for, I mean, it has an awful lot of bandwidth. You can do a lot of stuff with 5G. And that's what they need for their whole Internet of Things and mass surveillance and facial recognition and paying with your face and everything they're doing with this whole COVID response plan. They need 5G. They need that amount of bandwidth to be able to pull it off. They don't care if people get sick from it, which people probably will, because people get sick from microwaves anyway. And you know, 5G covers such an incredible spectrum that they can actually induce sickness in people with 5G, because you can excite the 60 gigahertz bandwidth, and you can, like, all, see, 5G is directed, so they can, when you make a phone call with a normal cell phone, you're just accessing this ambient frequency that's all around you. But when you make a call on a 5G cell phone, then the 5G tower, the nearest tower, is sending a directed beam directly to your phone. It's directed. So they're able to target people with this. And when you look at the 60 gigahertz wave, they can actually excite the 60 gigahertz bandwidth, and they can target you directly. They could excite 60 gigahertz in your body, and that would prevent the hemoglobin in your body from being able to uptake oxygen, because they can actually reverse the spin on the oxygen molecule with 60 gigahertz, which means that your hemoglobin cannot uptake the oxygen into your blood, which means you'll start developing respiratory and breathing difficulties. So they can do this with 5G. All sorts of stuff they can do with 5G. So this could provide a great excuse for their second wave as well. And anybody they want, they can just target you with 5G, cause this depletion of oxygen in your body, and say, oh, look, he died of COVID. And now we're going to have to go and isolate everybody this man's come into contact with. And if you're an activist, you think about it, you know, say, oh, Richard Carey, there he is. We've just excited this the 60 gigahertz, and he's just collapsed on the street. We're going to call it COVID. So now every single person Richard Carey's come in contact with, we need to go and self-isolate all those people. So your whole activist network has just been locked down because they excited 60 gigahertz in one person's body, and with contact tracing said, no, you all have the possibility of being infected. So they put you all in isolation, and they excite 60 gigahertz there, and you all die. Pretty simple for them to do it, you know. So it's an insidious system that they've got putting in place, and the possibilities are endless of what they can actually do with this. And, yeah, I mean, we're electromagnetic beings. Everything we do is electromagnetic. Everything we feel, every emotion we have, every experience we have, we are more electrical beings than anything else. If you really look at consciousness and spirit and soul and really the whole nature of universe, it's an electrical universe. So when you start tampering with these types of frequencies and interfering with the frequencies in your body, you can induce just about anything in people, emotionally, physical, you know, wellness, sickness, mood swings, violence, passivity. I mean, anything. You can induce all sorts of things in people with the application of these type of frequencies.
Well, it's very important then, I think, for everyone to research for themselves as well, and to see, confirm that what you're saying is true, you know, does have validity. Some people may need a little coaching from others how to use, you know, different methods on the internet to find this information. Of course, what sort of sources among all of those which are censored and scrubbed with official narratives and such. And even with search engines, sometimes you need to know tricks of the trade and also know reputable, you know, independent media sources as starting points. A lot of times that can help. But, you know, this is all very beneficial. Regarding the topic of this technology, Mr. Church, John, did you have any further questions for Max on this?
You know, the preparation for war, like you said, you know, there's a bunch of, well, you didn't say this, but there's more of a wimpish, hands-off kind of let me start over. I was reading the WEF website last night, and as I poured through there, I realized that they have the greatest website ever, the king of the platforms. So they'll deplatform everybody else because they're king of the platforms. But I realized that this cult or whatever driving the WEF, I was reading about what they envisioned to do to communities. And so it has a lot to do with this intrepidation they're doing with the technology that you spoke of. Beating us down, I guess you'd say, and then preparing us, culling us, and for depopulation. But as I kept reading, I realized that these people seem like a very feminist lot that just sits around and gets back at people with writing and rhetoric. instead of any hands-on building constructive activity. And then there's this expression that Proud Boys said, like, we built this. Or I was in an argument with somebody, said, well, men built Europe. Why are women trying to take it over? Isn't that kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, and then the president, Obama said, you didn't build this. And he's talking to white males, saying we don't have a right to have a say-so anymore, and if we do, we'll be painted as a bigot for saying something against a woman or a race. And that is a collision course with everybody. So everybody's on a collision course with everybody in capitalistic society. Of course we'll have to revamp it, because it's being, you know, they're creating collision courses with social justice law. And anyway, that's what I have to say. I think the roots of it are social justice, but it doesn't do me no good. I have to prepare for war.
Yeah, well, we're already at war, brother. We absolutely are. But divide and conquer is the motto. That's why they do it. And people think, I mean, oh, so they want to destroy the white races. Well, yeah, they do, but they want to destroy all races. They want to merge it all into one race, just one slave race, all serfs, you know. They don't want anybody with any national sovereignty. They don't want anybody with any genetic sovereignty. They don't want anybody with anything that they actually want. They want to get the whole human race, and they just want to turn it inside out and upside down and backwards and train it to be everything it isn't. And they enjoy it. You know, anything they can do to mess us up and anything they can do to turn us into what we are not, they enjoy it. That's what they do. They get off on it. So, you know, sure, I mean, they're destroying Western cultures and European cultures and definitely destroying the white races, but like I said, they're destroying all races. Now, they just want to watch the world burn. That's the problem, is they don't care about too much. They want complete control of everything, or they want it all to burn. You know, either way, that's what psychopaths do. We've got to understand, you know, we're dealing with psychopaths, and the level of psychopathy is just so off the charts that most people can't even comprehend it. You know, it was a great comment by David Icke recently when he said, what controls this earth? You could call it evil, but if you did, evil would probably take out a defamation suit against you. That's the level that we're dealing with, you know.
What, John, was there something else? Yeah, I was just wondering if something else was going to be added by John. But, yes, no, I totally agree with all of those sentiments as well. As far as this technology, I mean, I guess depending on where you are, there's some hope at the local resistance level. If you educate enough people, you know, in your town, you know, perhaps your local representatives and sheriffs, perhaps you could get 5G out of the area in some cases. I mean, it might be more difficult where you are, for example, in Australia. I don't know how draconian it is to try to challenge the system in any local regions, or how much the infrastructure is just unified, where, you know, they don't allow variations on the local level. Everything has to be uniform, perhaps.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the way they want to push it. I mean, it's getting to the point where people have just got to physically go and tear it down. You know, people have got to physically start pushing back against this. And that's just the way it's got to be. There's a war going on here. It's a soft kill operation, but it's a war nonetheless. Our governments have declared war against the citizens, and they're wiping us out in a slow kill. You know, and it's been going on for a long time. Now, how much are people prepared to take before they're going to admit that it's a war going on? Before they're, you know, how much are they allowed to be squashed and squashed and squashed before they're going to admit that they're being subject to violence? They're in an abusive relationship. Now, violence takes many forms. Government is violence. Taxation is violence. All of these things are violence. Putting a 5G tower pointing at your house, this is violence. You know, how much are people prepared to take? Were they going to ask nicely, please stop being so violent to me? I'll write a petition to say, can you please give me softer shackles on my chains? You know, I mean, it's crazy. When are we going to realize that we don't have owners, that people have no authority over you? We actually employ government to manage infrastructure on our behalf, and they're doing a god-awful job, and we're just not prepared to call them out for it. We ask them to be nicer. We petition them to do things for us rather than simply calling it for what it is. You know, that's what's going to change things, brother. If people simply call things out for what they are, stop being politically correct about it and speak your mind, you know, grow a backbone, be a man again. Like, there's not too many people out there that are men anymore, unfortunately. Like John was saying, everyone's been feminized. Everyone's effeminate now. Everyone's, you know, lackadaisy. Everyone's got to do the right thing and be politically correct and this and that. What happened to the alpha males? What happened to the people standing up and protecting their women and protecting society and standing up for themselves? Get a few of those guys back, would change the world in a day. You know, so there's a time for you know, spirituality, and sure, there needs to be a spiritual approach to this because it's a spiritual battle we're facing. But just because I'm a spiritual man doesn't mean I'm not going to kick the shit out of you if you try to mess with me, you know? That's what people need to do. I mean, a real spiritual man would stand up for himself and wouldn't take a backward step to a thug. He'd knock the thug down, you know? He wouldn't say, oh, I don't want to hear, I don't want to be violent. I'm prepared to let you just do whatever you want to do because I don't want to. No, you need to stand up for yourselves. And that's what needs to happen everywhere. People need to become men again and stand up for their women, stand up for their families, and push back in any way that is viable for them to do so.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. John, did you have anything else you wanted to add or ask Max to elaborate on?
You know, the Justin Sterling I keep talking about in 98, he told us 200 men, he says, every time we leave you in a room, 200 men in a room, this is called the weekend, to help with your relationships. He says, I can't talk about relationships until I tell what they did in the third revolution, industrial revolution, to separate men and women. And if you understand this, then we can build upon that. But
well, that,
you know,
that reminds me, on a side note,
war. Yeah.
What? Well, yeah, but divisiveness between the genders is, well, something that's taking a new approach of confusion of genders now, John. You know, with all of the gender identity and the sex change propaganda in the schools for the young children who haven't even reached puberty or thought of any of these things on their own. And that's getting into the political correctness as well. But the fourth industrial revolution, that makes me think of, because Max, what you were talking about earlier in the first hour there relates to very much bringing the standards of the first world down to that of the third world. From what I understand, they're referring to this, at least the World Economic Forum, you know, and these circles of these types you speak of controlling everything are referring to it as the fourth industrial revolution and return to serfdom for most of the population of the earth, and really like you say, the destruction of the middle class, the standards of living. You don't travel, you know, have the same living standards for, you know, vehicles, energy use, any of what we became accustomed to in the West and in the United States as the biggest example of living in excess. Right, Max?
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. That's what's happening. It's so well planned, and it's been so many years in the making. It's yeah. And really, when you look back, everything you just said, I mean, you look back at our society for the last 50 years and you can see how we've been led to this point. Every single thing, if you look back, all the dominoes fall into place and you see that this has been a long-going plan for at least 50 years, if not longer. I've just got to quickly run to the bathroom, brother. I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. And John, was there something else you wanted to comment on regarding the World Economic Forum? And Max was referring to David Icke earlier. I know you always have been researching him as well. So I guess, you know, there's a lot of similar research you could draw from you know, what you've
looked into. Every time I read something about David Icke, I say, nah, this guy, you know, he's off. He's on a tangent. And then I start thinking about, he uses analogies, but the rest of it is, you know, he's so prophetic. It's such a good prophet. I mean, he wrote the thing back in 93, and it came true chronologically, like he said, beyond any prophet's ability I've ever read about, maybe Rasputin or somebody, but it's good science. The man is a good scientist. But when he talks about energy, you know, people, well, I got an electronics degree, okay? That's a bench technician, but, you know, I'm fascinated by, you know, I'm a TV technician for 12 years and audio technician for 20. So I've been living, breathing, and eating circuitry. I have a Class A amp that zero feedback would cost you $14,000 to build it. You think it sounds good? I hope so. It only cost me $250 to put it together with my two hands. That's how crazy I am. But I'm fascinated by wavelengths and electricity and the effect of electricity on people. And so I go there a lot. I just don't talk about it much because over the time, people dismiss me as a kook. But the electrical vibes and the vibes and the EMF vibes, most of them negative. There's light wave technology, and it gives me hope, but it also gives me an ability to do a great deal of damage. I mean, some people like guns. I don't. I like IEDs. I like blowing up masses of people if it comes to protecting me, because I don't know. I do a lot of hydrogen bombs, but if I need to, but I use them for energy. I would never say that I build bombs. I don't. I've never put together a bomb, but I have the ability to. And you think they'll come get me? No. I have the ability to build hydrogen bombs. Of course, anybody does with a 12th grade science class, really. But that's what my preparation for war is. Every time I feel intimidated, I think about what I do to defend myself. And it gives me some kind of peace of mind. But this stuff, when you see it happening real time, like that debate tonight, or you know, the collision course that everybody's on, and the nastiness and the loathe, they loathe each other. They're not getting along. I'm a landlord, and all I catch is a bunch of flack and hatred. And these people would shank me if they could. They're so fomented with anger, and so it's hard to navigate in America. I mean, in American Australia, you got a lot of parallels, but it is a little bit different. But we're feeling it over here.
Maybe you want to tell Max your situation as a landlord. Well, Max, right now, the Trump administration, I guess, or Congress, along with the CDC, put this moratorium on evictions until at least the end of the year, at least till December 31st, 2020, where you can't evict any tenants if you're a landlord, but the bank can take your property away if you don't pay up and keep paid. So this is attacking the upper middle class first, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I want to get rid of the middle class. So it's great. Okay, there's financial hardship, so no one should be evicted because no one can pay. Okay, totally understandable. But that should go for the landlords as well. if you're gonna deprive them of their source of income and their source of being able to pay off their houses, because many laws are actually paying their properties off, and they've got people renting the properties to help them pay it off, well, it needs to be across the board. You can't just give the renters the carte blanche. You know, you've got all the rights and the landlords don't, because then the renters won't have a place anyway. You know, the way they've constructed is that everybody loses. The renters and the landlords, you know. And, of course, it's all done by design. Absolutely, it's done by design. You know, and it creates divide and conquer, the same thing, you know. It's all part of the play, brother. This is a very well-constructed plan that they're putting in place here, you know.
Yeah, so John here is a landlord. John, I was just telling him how you're – telling Max how you're a landlord. And so, yeah, you're very concerned right now. What, you could – still be in danger of losing your property before the end of the year, is that correct? Or some of your properties?
Yeah, it's not so much of the danger as the preemptive wiping my sector out And why the heck did I get in it just to be wiped out? I've got blood, sweat, and tears tied up in it. So there's 10 million of us independent people that says, you know, I think I'll invest in real estate and go up an equity ladder and live the American dream that way. And it's perfectly legitimate, but now, you know, much like cops, you know, you get degraded, downgraded, and the seizure of property in itself, the preemptive seizure of property, of it will make for bad relationships with the government or taxes. We have code officials, code enforcement that's been real nasty. They act like, you know, they want to get punched in the mouth. That's how goods and services locally run by Democrat people need to get punched in the mouth. That's what they want. They want to anger bait you. And it's usually a black dude or a gay dude or somebody trying to be very offensive and abuse their office. Even if they're the water department, you know, the sewer department or the code enforcement, or you go in to get a permit, or if, you know, it's blue hot Democrat in this area, you know, the leftist machine. And all the WEF is instructions so that they can centralize their plans and everybody's on the same page, so that, you know, that these are instructions on how they're going to take over a hostile takeover. Nobody is going to give up their capitalism in exchange for something that loses them money. Johnson & Johnson was mentioned by Trump last night, and as getting, you know, race to the vaccine by Election Day. Johnson & Johnson is part of the WEF. So I don't think anybody's not including the WEF at this point. If it's MSM and DNC and China, sorry about that. I got out there, but all this stuff is spiraling around most Americans' heads. You know that we don't trust, and if there's no trust, there's no intimacy. Where are you going to get intimacy? You're going to get it from your phone, your device, your laptop. Yeah.
That's great. Let's hear Mac's comment on that. You had a lot of good points to make there, John.
Yeah,
intimacy from your laptop. See, that's what they've done. See, they want to completely destroy the human spirit. That's what a lot of this is about. That's why they want everyone wearing masks, why they want everyone socially isolated, because they want everyone to be scared of everybody else. No more human interaction. You know, it's all leading us into, see, they want to lead us into this control group. When you look at the whole technocratic system, you look at transhumanism, where they actually want to take us. How do you get people to go into the mainframe willingly? How do you get people to want to enter a virtual reality where there is no real human contact? Well, you've got to get them scared of other people. You've got to get them used to it. It's a gradual thing. First step, of course, is breaking down individual sovereignty so you get people to wear masks around. That's the first step of it. You know, so it's all part and parcel to the same thing, all about leading us into this transhumanist reality, total control, AI control over everything. I mean, you know, you ever seen that film Avatars, where people are just lying in these tubes and they've got little robots that look like themselves that actually go out and do their jobs and all that stuff for them, and they're just lying in this little cocoon operating these virtual versions of themselves? Kind of like that sort of thing, you know? It's crazy when you look at the plans they've got and what they want to do. But, yeah, I mean, it's all about breaking down that human relation. They don't want any human relation. That's why they don't want you thinking for yourself. You've got apps to do it all. People can't even find their way around their own towns anymore. They've got GPS to do it. They don't want any type of, you know, you don't think for yourself. You don't act for yourself. You don't want to be touching other people. They could be diseased. If you want to have babies where you can meet some girl online and then you can send your sperm off to the sperm bank, she can send her eggs off, and then the drone will deliver your baby to you, you know? This is the way we're heading, you know? It's pretty freaky, but that's the way they want to take it. Complete control over every aspect of human life. Brave New World on steroids, you know?
As long as the child is delivered in a bubble, because I don't want my child infected with anything out there.
Gotta have the bubble, brother. Without the bubble, it's just no good.
Right. Well, oh, and you know, by the way, I should remember to mention some mutual friends wanted to send their regards. For one, a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I had an interview with Ole Demigard, and he wanted to send his best wishes and say hello. And also Wilhelm Felderhoff. He's actually been a co-host with me. I've been doing a show on another station as well. I was thinking of playing a couple segments of the first third or two-thirds of this on that station as well, because that's a ridiculous hour for you to show up live. That would be like 3 a.m. in Brisbane. But I'll probably play segments on there. But no, Wilhelm has been a co-host with me on there. It's not too bad an hour in Europe, so he's been co-hosting with me on there. Okay. And he wanted to send his regards.
Lovely man, Wilhelm. Absolutely lovely man. I love Wilhelm like a brother. Absolutely wonderful man. Really, really genuine human being. And Ole's a wonderful guy too. So, wonderful to hear from him. And send my best regards back. I'll send them back to you now if you're listening, Wilhelm. Love you, brother.
Absolutely. I'll make sure he has a listen on that note. And if you happen to, be... I don't know how soon any of us are going to be traveling, in the future with the situation. But if things lighten up, and we do get that positive future, which we really should try to help create, with positive thinking. On that note, there is that metaphysical element of our will involved here. But I would like to try to get you on there as well sometime if you happen to ever be in the States or somewhere else with the time zone, that closer to ours. And perhaps we could make it on a Thursday or something when Wilhelm could join. That would be good if we had the two of you together for a show.
Well, for sure. Absolutely. I hope I do travel again. I mean, who knows what the world's going to be. I can't kind of see it. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't fancy the idea of putting a mask on for hours on an aircraft. So, and I'm certainly not going to be having any vaccines or anything to travel. So it'll just be interesting to see where it's going to go. I mean, I usually spend 6 months of the year on the road. So it's kind of weird. I haven't traveled now since September, and that feels strange in itself. Just being here for winter feels strange. But, it'd be interesting to see where it goes, brother. Hopefully I will travel again. Never know. I'd love to do a show with you and Mom.
That would be wonderful. All right. Well, we'll have to be sure to keep in touch more frequently and see how things develop here as well. We have just a few minutes left here. If you want to just give some final thoughts and advice of summing things up for listeners out there and people who are searching, you've given so much great advice already though tonight, but perhaps you want to add or summarize some of it, but also to mention where people can find your work. Your main website is thecrowhouse.com. So that's thecrowhouse.com. And they can email you through there, I take it, as well. Do you have any platforms you're having videos still posted on? I'm guessing YouTube has been shutting down your work, but like other people's these days, right?
Yeah, they've completely kicked me off YouTube. All three channels have been shut down. I'm on BitChute now. I'm also on LBRY. I'm also on a platform called ThreeSpeak, which is a Hive blog. It's a blog like Steam that you can join. You can create a video server there. So yeah, BitChute, LBRY, and ThreeSpeak are the main places you'll find me. I've got brand new Tube as well, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty with uploads to that for some reason. But I'll keep working on it. But that's basically where you'll find me now, and thecrowhouse.com. And with what's coming, I mean, people have to realize that this is what we've been prepared for. This is what we've expected for so long, and you're about to be tested. You're going to leave this realm at some stage. The question is how you want to do that. Are you prepared to be locked down and turned into a slave in order to extend your time in the prison a little bit more? Because this world is a prison. As beautiful as it is, it's a prison. So, you're about to be tested and you're about to be given the choice whether you're going to choose love or fear, whether you're going to choose to stand in the power you have and stand up for yourself, or whether you're just going to be led into the meat grinder. It's a really important time, and I think they do this all the time. I mean, I don't particularly buy into the official narrative of history. I think they've done this many times before. I think it's all cyclic, and I think this is just the next stage, and I think we go through these tests all the time. We're all about to get tested, and everything that they've done in the last 50 to 100 years has been leading to this point. So you should have no fear of the impending collapse of this slavery system. And you should realize that this is the time you've been waiting for. This is the time when you're really going to find out what your metal is and what you're made of. And it's kind of like an exam. So it's whether you choose to participate, whether you want to pass the exam or not. And really, it's about love or fear. So, you know, ultimately, we're going where we're going. They're taking it where they want to take it, and there's very little we can do to stop it at this stage. Unless there's a mass awakening very quickly, it's going to go there. So, you know, prepare, get yourself some food stashed, prepare yourself to weather the storm, and be prepared to face infinity without flinching, because the storm is definitely coming. But don't have any fear of it. Don't have any fear of it. Just realize that this is what you were born to do. And it's time to face it. You know, hopefully you've been able to prepare yourself spiritually, morally, mentally. And if not, well, you've still got a little bit of time to do it. So I suggest that you do, because we're all about to be tested. And thanks for having me on, brother. It's been a pleasure to come and talk to you again. And thanks for your input as well, John.
Yes, thank you, John.
And thank you.
All right. Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure as always, Max. And yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch here. So yes, thank you for your time. I do appreciate it. And yeah, have a great autumn here, and we'll speak again soon.
Not a problem, brother. Spring just starting here, and I'm looking forward. I got the picnics outside. It'd be a good season this year. And thanks for having me on, brother. Talk again soon. Bye for now.
All right. Have a good night. Good spring. And thank you all the listeners as well. And we will speak again soon. And until then, transcend the construct. Regards.